Welcome to Expounded Universe, the Star Wars novel discussion podcast, featuring me, your host Jeff, as well as your other host John, who I cannot see and I feel scared about.
Oh no! It's always scary when you can't see me.
I know. I don't know how I sleep at night. I pretty much have to draw pictures of you on the inside of my eyes.
You've got one of those anime pillows of me.
I do. Yeah. It's the entire bed actually is a big John anime pillow.
Yeah, it's way harder to flip over to the other side where I'm like more embarrassed about what I'm wearing, but you know.
Yeah, the other side where you're doing the Ahagao face.
Ew.
How is your Ahagao face anyway? I feel like you got to have something to work on during quarantine time.
Oh yeah, obviously that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people who are listening to this and who may be Patreon supporters of ours should know that, you know, there is a level at which we'll unlock our secret Ahagao faces.
Oh yeah, well, I mean there's a level of getting money which it does automatically unlock that face for me.
Oh, that's yeah, where you've received enough money that you just go into that face directly.
Yeah,
that's not too surprising. I've never seen it happen, so presumably it must be at some hitherto unheard of level.
I know. Geez, something like, what, like $400?
I think that's still significantly lower than the Ray Liotta private select level.
Oh, if Ray Liotta straight up started being a patron of ours, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Also, he would need to want an Ahagao face from you.
Well, let's be honest. He does.
Who wouldn't, right? So, listeners, if things sound a little funky, it's because we've finally succumbed to California regulations and restrictions and recommendations, and we are recording remotely. John's at his house, and I'm at my house.
Ugh, it's the worst.
I don't care for it. I mean,
no,
granted,
sir.
I actually really like the new rig setup I have over here because I got a new small soundboard, and the whole thing fits neatly into my regular desk, so I don't need a bunch of TV trays everywhere.
The whole thing fits very neatly right up my desk.
Yeah, right up my small, puckered desk.
Even from a distance, we still have the horrible jokes.
It's all just butt jokes and dick jokes. We just haven't done any dick ones yet. Don't worry, we will.
It'll get there. Don't you fret.
So this is a wrap-up episode. This is a the Betweensy show, and it's actually a pretty good these are very loose as far as episode formats go, so this is a good testing bed for our first remote episode. I do not know how long we're going to have to do this.
I don't know. I mean, some amount of time. Who knows?
Everything I read is so doom and gloom these days that they're all just like, oh, it's definitely the beginning of several months, and by the time it's over, everyone will either be dead or they'll be the king of the new wasteland.
That's right. We're going to have so many kings.
I'm kind of hoping that in the new apocalypse world that you and I can kind of be like the radio DJs, you know, kind of like the lady who was just like the lower half of her face in what movie is that? Help me out, John. The gangs, the one where it's a bunch of cool gangs in New
Warriors?
York. The Warriors, thank you. Do you think we could be that lady?
We could be that lady.
Together? Do you think that just if just we combine the two
day?
Of us? We'll have... yeah. I mean, we'd just be like announcing rumbles.
Yeah. And coming up next, Rumble over in the park.
That could be our apocalypse job, just announcing rumbles.
Coming up, we've got the guys who are dressed like baseball up against
they're dressed like baseballs.
They're dressed like baseballs up against the guys dressed like baseball bats. Let's see who wins.
I really have a strong feeling about this one. I mean, it's just kind of a natural enemy situation.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the baseballs are scrappy.
I think they're due.
they're really hungry for it.
They worked real hard in the preseason. wouldn't the baseball bats always win? Okay, so on the wrap-up show, we pretty much just discuss the last book and kind of share our final thoughts. Then we answer listener questions, and then as a special treat for everybody who sticks around with us for the whole show, we will announce the next book.
Yes, indeed.
And I only have like two spare Star Wars books around, so it's
only two spare Star Wars books.
There might actually be more. I forget if I'm still storing my brother's like Star Wars collection in my garage. Hmm. I think he got it back.
Who knows?
Yeah,
I don't.
Anyway, but yeah, like there may be a few spare books out there, but in terms of like books I had bought in advance and then we went in a different direction such that, because right now Amazon takes forever to deliver anything. There's no way around it. So I have a couple of backup books and we're going to do one of those until, you know, the world comes back together.
Eh.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I've read this before. It's a really good book. I think we'll actually enjoy it, which is nice. It'd be nice to have some joy in this time.
Really bring ourselves some nice smiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw a bird yesterday. It's nice to see birds again.
Birds are fake. Don't believe it.
It was a hologram. It was a chemtrail produced by a demon.
The entire quarantine is just so that they can replace the batteries in the birds.
So the book that we just finished reading was Crucible, a 2013 work by Troy Denning, who actually was very involved in the end of the Star Wars EU. He wrote a lot of books.
Man, that's got to really suck if you're Troy Denning and they had originally brought you on and they're like, hey, we want you to like really spearhead this new generation of books that we're going to do. And he's like, sweet. And then just it shits the bed and they're done.
Apparently he's written like 30 some novels as Troy Denning.
Well, I mean, if you're one of those people that wrote a Star Wars book, it's probably like you are a jobber of an author and will be like, yo, what do you want me to write? Okay, great.
If anything, I kind of hope this guy doesn't hate us after having read his book because he's a cool dude. I mean, he, from our weird perspective as professionals, he's a cool dude. He worked for Mayfair Games for a while. He worked for TSR for a while.
Wow.
He wrote a five novel trilogy in Dark Sun.
Huh.
And a All Planescape right. book.
Neat.
Yeah, apparently something from The Lady of Pain's viewpoint, which I would love to find out what that's about. So he's an interesting dude. I mean, we have had people tell us as we made our way through the book that he was a D&D guy from way back.
From way back.
Yeah, it looks like most of the books he's written have been D&D books.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm trying to find his list. Here we go. Here's his Star Wars novels. Crucible was the last one he wrote, and almost all of the ones that he got to write have very boring names. There's stuff like Tempest, Inferno, Invincible, Abyss, Vortex.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
some of us write books, and some of us design flavors of Axe body spray.
And some combine those loves.
We call them Stinkos.
Max Stinko.
He fights crime, and he smells like Abyss. Or Inferno, I don't know.
So
These need like one more word to become good like deodorant names. It's not enough to be Abyss. It has to be like, I don't know, Frost Abyss or something like that.
Well, I mean, that would be if they were like Old Spice names, mm-hmm. Sure. Because I think the one word is much more of the Axe body spray.
No, that's true. And Inferno is probably, and so is Invincible, probably already Axe body sprays.
I mean, I would not be surprised at all.
Do you think the Invincible Axe body spray has to come with a little warning on it? It's like, hey, this does not actually make you invincible.
I would like, hope not.
Like, based on one time they got sued because some kid died?
Yes, some kid was like, I'm going to cover myself in Axe body spray, and then tragically, he died of Axe body spray.
It's the one weakness of the Invincible spray. Okay, but seriously, though, what did you think of Crucible now that we've made our way through it?
I mean, now that I've read the whole thing, I definitely think it's one of the stronger ones that we've read. Like we mentioned several times during the season, you know, they're not afraid to fuck up the main characters. So you don't
it's
really
like they just had a mandate of don't kill them.
Yeah, but normally you get like, all of the main characters are just sort of invincible ultra badasses. Mm-hmm. And at least with this one, they're like, oh, they'll make it through, but they're still going to get absolutely fucked up along the way.
I mean, it wasn't the entire book, but I think the thing that really stuck out to me the most in this book was the stuff that was written from Vistara Kai's perspective.
Hmm.
Because it was like, yeah, sure, this book is willing to fuck up Han and Leia and Luke a whole bunch, but it shows from Vistara's perspective exactly how scary they've been for 40 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you are someone that not only has basically grown up in a universe where Luke Skywalker is the main Jedi, and like always has been, so at this point, you don't know anything but Luke Skywalker as a super badass.
I mean, that's true. She's only 20 years old.
Yeah, no, she 100% is like, yeah, when I was born, he was already the galaxy's supreme badass and still is. So you've got that. Plus, she interacted with them before. So she's been on adventures with both Ben and Luke to the point where she's like, yeah, no, I've seen what he can do. He's not just a legend. Like, he actually is a badass.
Like, to her, the whole thing where he killed off Palpatine and, or where I guess Lando took out Palpatine, technically, but no, wait, it was Vader. What the hell am I talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, at this point, it was no one. He just survived, you know, don't worry about it.
Nah.
But no, for her, all the, like, actual original trilogy stuff is just in legend. It's like what the Vietnam War would be to you and me.
Exactly.
She'd be like, when she was born, he was already doing, like, the Planet of Twilight Mega Force beam cannon attack.
Exactly. So, I mean, especially from a generation like hers, you'd be like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, obviously these guys are ridiculous. They have managed to survive a, like, list of dumb nonsense thrown at them.
Now, I'm going to be willing to bet that Vistara Kai is actually, like, 3,000 years old, and she was in stasis on the ship thing for, like, forever. Please, if that's true, just let me have my illusions. Would be great.
It's not true. We made it up. The writers made this one up.
Not a chance.
No way.
All right, John. I know you want to do the other one. Go ahead.
Do you ever believe in the power of a curse?
There it is. That's I love that that's got you so tickled of late that you've actually got a Stardew Valley farm named after that game, that, like, 2-minute video.
Oh, yeah. My new Stardew Valley farm of Jever Farm.
It's a shame you can't put an S on the end of that, right? Well, yeah, I more or less agree that this book is kind of a fascinating thing because ultimately we've read a lot of books. I'd say maybe 4 of the books that we've done so far have pretty much been the same thing. Like, there's a disconnected mystery that the main characters can't all be privy to at once. At the end, Luke Skywalker has to do a crazy force thing. The villain has some kind of connection to the Empire, but ultimately is the latest example of supreme super badassery that turns out to be a total clown.
I mean, I will say this, at least in this book, I mean, it sort of became that at the end, but for the vast majority of it, it wasn't a, like, Sith or Force-based problem, because basically everything that I've seen in the expanded universe is either this is a problem because they have Force powers or because they have something that is specifically anti-Force power.
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah, that is such a common problem in these books is, well, I mean, this one, you're right, by the end it's doing it too with the monolith stuff.
Yeah.
But most of these books are like, hey, one thing they never considered during the original trilogy is this crazy aspect of the Force. Luckily, Luke masters it instantly.
Yeah, I mean, it's always like, okay, we're dealing with whether it's, you know, like in Crystal Star or Planet of Twilight or whatever, it's like, oh, it's some Force user has an evil plan. Okay, great.
And both of those had the same Force trick, which was basically dampening fields.
Yeah.
Like, well, Luke's, I mean, Planet of Twilight wasn't a dampening field exactly. It was more like a punishment reaction. If you turn the Force on, you caused a lightning storm.
Hmm.
But yeah, with the other one, with Crystal Star, it was literally, oh, Hethrir has, like, blanket force turn off power.
Yeah, he can just be like, nah.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting how each one of the villains has to be kind of like a new type of force villain.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have it be like, oh, why are these guys the big bad? Oh, because they're ridiculously rich and smart. Well, smart in the way that the book says that they are smart.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed. These honestly felt like Lando villains.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this right? was definitely this should be a Lando and Han adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that they felt like they needed to tie force to these guys through like having them have a Jedi and the monolith and all that shit. And I was like, no, these are perfect villains for just Han and Lando.
Yeah. Because you don't need to get anyone else involved. It's just, you know, crooked business guys. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they liked to play Sabacc, so that's perfect for those two as well. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the Kalumi are interesting. I just don't think the execution necessarily paid off by the end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say I actually did like the sort of weird dreamlike thing at the end where they were all in the monolith and it was doing weird stuff. Like, that was kind of fun. And it's definitely handled better in that than like when they were in Waru.
Oh yeah, the Waru one, that felt like an afterthought, if anything. I mean, they were only in there for like four pages of one chapter and it never felt like there were any real danger.
No, and for jumping into a like weird dimensional space that combines like our world and another one in a weird goop, like, there wasn't really anything weird going on. They were just kind of like, oh, hey, I'm swimming around in here, just having a good time up in these guts.
Mm-hmm. Swimming around in this beautiful pocket of Vermont-style Japanese golden curry.
Yeah, just the fact that this book decided to go like, oh, I'm going to spend some time making things feel a little surreal was appreciated, I will say.
Yeah, and I'll back that up. I think that's definitely the case. We had a lot of characters that were introduced in this one. I think there were very few actually new characters. I think it was pretty much just Omad, Dina, and the Krefs are truly new.
Yeah. Dina and the Krefs. Ding, ding.
I mean, because Savara's just from some other books, like the Darknest Crisis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Myrta, I have to assume there's a whole bunch of shit about Myrta somewhere or other.
I mean, given that she has the relationship to Boba Fett, I have to imagine there's at least one book where she was established at some point.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe even by Troy Denning.
I mean, we should probably look into the Boba Fett post-Sarlacc adventures to see what's going on with him, because I've never read any of those.
Nope. I don't care.
But he's Boba Fett. He has a super cool
Boba Fett
look or so. I don't really know. He never did anything cool in the movies.
It's amazing how much I don't care about Boba Fett.
And the coolest thing he did in the original trilogy, like honestly, is the scene where he just sort of acknowledges C-3PO or Luke Skywalker or whoever when they walk into Jabba's palace.
Hmm.
He just kind of puts his hand on his gun and looks up, and it's sort of a cool moment. And that's the coolest Boba Fett's ever been.
Or I guess maybe the scene Boba Fett has ever been is when he woke up from a nap because someone came into the room.
I was just going to say, the other one is probably the moment where Vader told him no disintegrations, because that was like, you know, selling the guy.
Well, yeah, at least at that point, you're like, oh, he doesn't need to say anything, but this is established that, you know, this is the type of guy who goes out and disintegrates motherfuckers.
Right. I mean, sure, it's not him selling it. That's kind of like saying that the Rock This Is Your Life promo made the Rock look cool.
I mean, everything makes the Rock look cool, so let's let's not be too hasty here.
I mean, it didn't make the Rock look cool because he looked cool already, but...
Exactly.
There you go. And that isn't true of Boba Fett. I don't think we can compare the Rock and Boba Fett.
No, indeed not.
No, indeed. John, did you want to answer some listener questions?
I mean, sure, we can do that.
There's a lot of them, so I mean, I'm never that worried about the length of these wrap-up episodes, so...
I mean, the first one that I have, as far as the questions, actually ties into the discussion of the novels. So I think it's, even if we weren't doing them, it's a good question to ask anyway.
Cool. Hit me.
So, got one from Science Gar, which is, would you rather the expanded universe had a definitive end with the big three dying epically, or is it appropriate for it to go out on a wet fart of status quo with nothing changing?
I mean, I don't know. Like, at this point, I feel like killing off Luke or Han or something wouldn't really have the dramatic impact that you'd hope for, because there's nothing left. There'd be no story about what happened after he was gone.
I mean, I guess it's one of the things where when I look at, if you were saying like, oh, this is going to be the last story we're going to do for the expanded universe.
I mean, maybe you want to see like one of them die.
That's what I'm saying, is give me at least a death or something like that. Because, I mean, even if I was just saying that I really enjoyed the kind of like surreal, weird nonsense that happened inside of the monolith, it also just, it seemed to put a lampshade on the whole these people can't die thing, where it was like, yeah, no, it doesn't matter what happens to you. You are incapable of dying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, definitely it put them into an interesting situation where there was like infinite respawn turned on. So it did kill all of them, basically. I guess that's something. You could argue that this book did kill all three of the main characters in a situation where they got to come back to life free over and over again.
I do say that having the end of the book be, no, everything's back to status quo, would be kind of great, because that would be just the very definition of the expanded universe, which is just, we had something happen and then it didn't matter.
Yeah, no, that's true. If there's one thing that generally tends to define the expanded universe, it's status quo.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got one here. Let's see. This is from Sir Phobos, and it says, who would win in a rap battle between the Kalumi brothers and Prince Shizor?
Well, obviously, it's going to be the Kalumi brothers. There's two of them, so they can take turns going back and forth, and they can share rhymes with each other over their little screens.
That's true. I mean, they are able to process fresh new beats at microsecond levels that we can't even begin to comprehend.
Now, if we want to make it fair and give Shizor Guri, so it's a 2v2, I don't know. I think Guri can drop some fresh beats.
I think she might be skilled in over 6 million forms of being fly.
It's true.
Yeah, so that might be the case. I mean, I'd like to see that happen.
I would love to see that happen.
Maybe we should like figure out a way to represent that someday. Make a YouTube video.
Let's get a hold of the epic rap battles of history guys, pitch this to them, and then have them go, who are you and what is this?
We'd be like, look, we have casting ideas, which are in a follow another question that's going to be coming up in just a second, actually. So let me tell you my awesome casting ideas. You go get those big famous Hollywood celebrities and have them do a dumb rap battle dressed as blue monsters.
Well, I mean, we may as well go to the next one, which is that you are in charge of casting a film adaptation of this book. Who do you cast for the Kalumi brothers?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I feel like I've got a good answer ready on that.
Do you?
Yeah, actually. I think I know exactly who I'd cast as the
crowd. It's Nick Kroll and Josh Gad.
Well, it's Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Because they work together so well, you know, with their Oh Hello tours and what have you. But no, actually, my real answer was two comedy actors. It was just that it was not them. It would be Chris Parnell and Will Forte.
Okay. I mean, I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of have a similar, larger top than body. They, like, you know, inverted triangle faces. They both do. So Will Forte in particular practically is already a big-headed alien. So it would be really, really easy to get him looking all blue and mega-mindy. But I think the two of them would bounce off each other really well, and I think we'd give Will Forte would be Marvid, kind of overacting and being sort of, you know, a spoiled brat, mm-hmm. where Chris Parnell gets to be a little cooler and smoother and play the Kratheus role.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and say Parnell as Kratheus is great, but I'm going to go ahead and do my Marvid pitch as Jason Mantzoukas.
I mean, in a voice only role, like, or are we giving Marvid? Do you think we could give Marvid the beard?
I would love if it was just there's a point where like Savara says something about liking facial hair, and then he shows up in the next scene with a fake beard on.
What do you mean the Jedi are already after us? That is bonkers. No, Savara, listen to me. The thing you are saying doesn't make sense. It's crazy. I could back that play. I think, honestly, I'd be okay with either one of them. And I know this is an out there, out of left field kind of a thing to throw in as well, because he's not really a comedy actor so much as just a presenter. But I think Seth Meyers has a good face for being a Kreff brother as well.
Well, I mean, it's not like we've got to have him in makeup. CGI exists, so.
Oh, I know, but I'm casting, and I'm casting by look and by voice, and I really like Will Forte's dumb, whiny voice for Marvin.
That's fair.
So, I don't know. I don't think it matters. I think you could also, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I'm mostly just picking people who were on Saturday Night Live, like, 15 years ago, which is why it's all... Like, the other people on my list are like, oh, Fred Armisen could probably be one of them, because I fucking hate him.
Obviously, that's why.
Portlandia should have just been called 11 of the same sketch over 4 seasons.
All right, man.
Oh, do you want to move on? Are we moving on? I think, do we want to cast anyone else besides the Kalumi brothers while we're in there? I mean, there's really not much to the other. I mean... I guess for Vistara, I'd probably go with an Anna Taylor-Joy, and I don't know. Who. No one else is really interesting. It's all just young, sexy people that are new.
Yeah.
And I would like to see an Anna Taylor-Joy with a double-sized head, so.
That's what I'm going for. Who do I want to see on big head mode?
Okay, yeah, we can move on to the next one. Let's see. You want to do it?
No, I don't.
Okay. Arthur... You son of a bitch. Arthur BDD says, what character from the entire expanded universe roster do you really wish the Kalumis had cloned? And what would they have done in Crucible if they had been cloned?
Well, first of all, they're not clones. They're biots.
That's true. I think we said clone an awful lot towards the end, though, because we were tired of saying biot.
It's true. I don't want to say the word biot a whole bunch, and clone is fine.
It's interesting that they say expanded universe, which means it has to be an original character, do not steal, and not someone who is visible in one of the films.
Well, I mean, the expanded universe roster also includes everyone that ever had any screen time.
I guess that's fair. I mean, I'm thinking in terms of, like, you know, who's an original expanded universe character. But sure, we can do whatever. Who do you think they should have cloned?
Well, I mean, at that point, the big one would have been... to get a buyout of Jason Solo so that there's like an emotional confrontation on the ship between like his parents and him.
Oh yeah. And imagine how mad that would make his parents to see yet another clone of Jason Solo running around or buyout. Do you think they'd make him after Darth Cadus or before? Like, is he a bargaining chip or is he a weapon?
Oh, I think they would go for the Darth Cadus route. Mm-hmm. Because they'd be like, oh, we actually do want to use him to, like, murder them.
I would have liked to see them make clones of Beldorion, or biots, excuse me, of Beldorion the Hutt. And have that be their soldier army instead of Nargons. Just
any Hutt. Be like, yo, we got Hutts. We made Hutts.
In different area Hutts.
We've got Hutts in different area butts.
That's how we kill people. This is how I win. No, but Beldorion in particular, because he's a Jedi Hutt. I mean, that's completely dangerous.
Yeah.
And I would be super into it. So I think I'll go with Beldorion the Hutt, especially because he was also kind of lazy and easy to sort of like manage, if you will. Like that's what was happening on the planet, in the Planet of Twilight book, was basically other people were running him just like an asset. And I think that means that he's pretty weak-willed for a Jedi, and he would have been perfectly fine operating under the Krefts.
Well, I mean, spending enough time on that garbage bug planet, yeah.
Yeah. And also, let's just imagine how great a big head mode version of a Jedi Hutt would be. Just even like looking at a huge bigger sperm with two lightsabers. All right, what else we got?
From Richard, how well did the allegory for McCarthyism come through, and do you think the Salem witch trials are an effective vehicle for commentary on the current political climate?
Is this one of those things?
The other crucible.
I have only ever read it in like middle school.
Well,
the full extent of my knowledge of the crucible is that a lot of people in it are named Goody something.
Yeah. Proctor. Goody Proctor and Gamble.
So I don't know, John, do you have any answers? You're the one with a lit degree.
Yeah, no.
I just want to acknowledge the joke and then move
on. I just wanted to acknowledge that the joke was made. The crucible is the name of something else. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to go to the next one then. This one's from Razor Girl Sydney. Says, hashtag crucible, who's the biggest doofus in deep space?
Oh, man. That's rough. Because, like,
I mean, it really just comes down to who's the worst villain we've seen so far.
I kind of want to give it to, God, I can't even remember his name. The Eugene Vong.
Oh, the one who got a crush on a human woman immediately and...
Yeah, the one who just sat on Fart Planet waiting to die.
Oh, no, that's Noman Carr.
Yeah. No, he is 100% the biggest doofus because he just spends his entire time being like, oh, the humans, they don't know.
My pain is unknowable.
I'll make so it many quick. More books. I'll kill you with an axe fast. I'll give you a warrior's death.
What you don't know is that these bugs are my bugs.
Ugh, God, what a doofus.
I didn't care for him either. I mean, he wasn't my least... I don't even think he was my least favorite Eugene Vong in that book, because I knew he was eventually going to get murdered. I thought it was the commander that landed on the ice planet in the first place, just because the first thing he did was, like, bring me a sexy human woman.
See, but I'm going off specifically the biggest doofus.
Oh, okay,
not,
fair enough.
Not who's the worst, but Carr was definitely the biggest doofus.
Yeah, like... By the time, because who was it who found him? It was Mara Jade and Luke Skywalker, right? And they just murdered the crap out of him, which made his, like, 10 chapters of being like, yes, I will wait here for warriors to approach, and I will murder those warriors when they do. And then finally, anybody with any clout showed up and just instantly murdered him.
Yeah, because he spends most of the book just being like, oh, I'm the most amazing warrior. I'm killing fat scientists.
The deliciousness of the pain.
Ugh. You dumb jagoff.
Yeah. I want to say Yeoman Carr. Is that right?
Yeoman Carr.
Is that, I'm trying to remember. I had the other guy's name in my head as well. The one Eugene Vong in that book I kind of liked. Nominor.
Yeah, there you go. Nominor, Yeoman Carr.
Yeah, and there's a third one, and that's the one whose name I can't remember at all. The one who was like in charge of the guy who landed on Helska 4.
Yeah. No
oh,
idea.
Well.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I was sitting there going through the list of villains and organizing them in like how effective they were. And at number one, for most effective of the villains that we've encountered, has to be Geth Zirion, who pretty much knew what she was doing.
Oh, yeah. Like, and then, had a plan, was mostly executing it.
And then the pairing of Darth Fart and Darth Evil Lunch, I feel like they got a lot of good work done.
Good work.
Yeah. I honestly can't remember the name of the dude in that, the evil Darth from the zombie book.
Darth Symbolism?
Scabrous?
I don't know. Scabrous.
Scabrous? Okay, that
yeah,
is. Okay,
because
yeah,
because he was the name of a Crix guy.
Yeah. yeah, you're right, he was. God damn it. Yeah, Darth Scabrous. But even then, he wasn't really the villain of that. If you want to see who the villain was, it was that zombie presence.
It was Zombie MacArthur.
Very... My old City of Heroes character, Zombie MacArthur.
Yes.
He has returned. That's the whole joke. Yeah, I don't know. I'd also maybe just the one ghostling we ever met was pretty fucking stupid. Like, oh, would you like to fuck me to death? It's my thing.
That's what I'm into.
That's my jam. I mean, you know, I shouldn't be judging. Maybe some people are just into getting banged to death. Okay, I've got one from Hit the Targets. You two were kind of bait and switched on the idea of this book's being something like other than yet another Sith. after all that emotional blow, I got to ask, how you doing?
You know, it hurts.
I mean, it hurt a little bit by the end. I mean, the problem was that they buried the Krefs getting Jedi powers for way too late into the book. It's like the last three pages.
Which,
and the whole thing, they introduced that guy, that Jonas Ram guy, to show us that it's like a huge personality change and that they're completely crazy. But when we finally meet the Krefs with dark powers, they're just like, what's up? We're the Krefs. We have dark powers now.
Yeah, it's... I was hoping for some comeuppance when they were like, oh, our brains are too big to be taken over by dark side spirits. We're so smart, we'll just use them. And I was like, oh, God, I cannot wait until they get possessed and turned into little tiny, dangly, big-headed meat puppets for some spirit. But no, the book was like, no, it's true. They are. They're too smart.
Yeah, I was really kind of hoping that when Luke and Leia finally managed to corner the two of them, they were just like, what's up? I am Yangus Bosch, and I have no quarrel with you, Jedi.
That'd be great. I would have loved it.
And I am Yeats Freely.
Oh, Yeats Freely. In this world, it's either yeet or be yeeted.
And I am the master yeeter. Yeah, but no, was just kind of a disappointment that they pretty much got the Willy Wonka ending right up until they got murdered, where it was just like, oh, we're going to go into the crucible, or the I guess it's a crucible. Really, it's more of a crucible.
I always thought it was more of a crucible.
Oh, I like that. That's way better. No, but like, when they get into the monolith and they get their powers just the way they thought they would, I was a little disappointed. But
yeah,
in terms of how I'm doing, I don't know. I miss my friend John.
Aww.
How will we live? Oh, yeah, our many hundreds of video games that we both play together on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And the book we have to write.
Damn it.
And then the other book after that we also have to write.
Damn it.
don't you say damn it to work. Not in this economy.
All right. Next question from Defiance Industries. The main strategy of the EU writers to get Jaina over is to make her good at more things. What other things would you have had her be great at so that people would like her more than the original three?
It is true. There were characters that were... I mean, that's just the common nature of the EU. I wouldn't single out Jaina for that. You got to deal with guys like Cornhorn before you get to her.
Oh, yeah.
Cornhorn is like... Go ahead.
There's definitely a point where you see that they've taken two characters and put them into one. So, like, Cornhorn is very much Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, combine them, you get Cornhorn.
Yes.
And with Jaina, I feel like they just kept throwing characters in there. So they're like, oh, it's Luke and Leia and Han, because we needed to make her so that she was super powerful in the Force, but also an amazing pilot, but also she has, like, her mother's personality.
Yeah, I mean, she's a little, like, she's a little Luke, a little Leia, and a little Padme, I think, is the full measure of what you get from her. Because she has all the imperious qualities of someone who was raised to be a leader. She's a Jedi, she's, you know, got a lot of her mom in her, but also she has a weakness for bad boys. Which is how she ends up with Jagged Fell.
Oh, Jagged.
Apparently a very nice guy by the time we actually ever met him, but I'm pretty sure he was a big deal Empire dude at one point or another.
Well, I mean, it said in the book that he was some Empire muckety-muck who then just went, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in terms of other characters I would have liked to see added to her to really kind of make her the best, let's think about that. It'd be kind of funny if she had some Chewbacca in there.
Hmm. just real good at engineering.
No, she just casually threatens to rip people's arms off, and apparently she can back it up.
Well, I mean, she kind of does have some Chewbacca in there in that she does machines.
That's true. She does do machines. You're right. As opposed to her brother who does animals, she's the one who does machines.
Indeed.
So that means that she already has a little bit of maybe Chewbacca, sure, because he's kind of a hyperspace engineer, but also probably some Lobot?
Maybe Lobot? Have you considered...
You still have Lobot.
uh...
I mean, maybe if she had the dance stylings of Ula the Twi'lek.
Maybe.
Or the other dancer, Yarna Dalgargan, whose species name nuts. I have forgotten. I cannot. She was. Her species is notable as having six breasts.
Yeah, very notable.
That's the thing that's the most notable about her species. It looks like she's an Oscagean.
All right.
I just looked her up. Apparently, she's an Oscagean, which is that's. No, oh, hold on. For a second, I was like, ooh, interesting. That's a crossover with the Guardians of the Galaxy, because I think that's the gross, needly species that Quill slept with once. But no, that was Oscavirians. Or Oscamirians. One or the other. Who cares? Let's move on.
Don't ask of me. okay. From Esser Z, what's Sheev Palpatine's usual in-and-out secret menu order?
I mean, granted, the last time we did this in-and-out secret menu order stuff, a lot of people were commenting that, like, it sounded like we were speaking made-up alien languages, because we don't have that many California listeners.
I mean, it's true, but it's definitely Sheev Palpatine goes in, gets a Flying Dutchman and a vanilla strawberry shake. Yes, he knows that the strawberry shake is just the vanilla shake with strawberry flavoring. He likes a little bit more vanilla than strawberry.
Why is he getting a Flying Dutchman? Is he watching carbs?
Yeah, obviously. He's got a good ripped for the beach contest. Gethzeriot's going to be there.
That last movie definitely confirmed I fuck.
Oh, I gotta get it on.
I mean, we've always been strong proponents of the idea that Palpatine was fucking just constantly.
Oh yeah, obviously.
If he wasn't boning down, he was at the very least fucking with Vader.
If he wasn't boning down, he was boning up on how to bone down.
Hanging out in the great porn libraries of Coruscant.
Chilling in his own hot tub.
You know, in the great porn libraries of Coruscant.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Obviously.
Where else would you put a hot tub?
If you could put a hot tub anywhere because you're the emperor, where else would you put it?
Yeah. What, are you going to put it in some snow chalet? That's boring. That's pedestrian. He's done that already.
Been there. Mm-hmm. Done people in it.
No. Instead, it's the great porn libraries of Coruscant, which aren't as cool as they sound. It's just huge, like, stacks of, like, printed paper porno from the 80s.
Yeah, and
just
no one wants
dirty,
that.
Gross stacks of books, like some 75-year-old's accountant's office that's never been cleaned out.
Oh, this flimsy plast is all stuck together.
At least some of these subscription cards are still good. They've got titties on them, too.
It's just a whole bunch of those Vegas titty cards.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a very comprehensive library.
Yeah.
Man, right now there's got to be like dust golems comprised of those things wandering the Vegas Strip.
I cannot imagine what it must be like to be someone that lives in Vegas when it's shut down so that only the people that live there are there. Because, like, wow.
I know, the city is, it's like Berkeley where it empties out. So it's got to be an unusual, and the only people who work there either work supporting the industry or have like office jobs that relate to businesses in the city. So I imagine it's a pretty hard hit city overall.
Oh yeah. Plus, I mean, if you're just going down like the Strip and no one is there because the Strip only exists for tourists, it's got to feel very The Stand.
Vegas listeners, chime in. How horrifying is the dystopia?
Yeah.
Okay, from Abby Pringles, we've got, is Vestara Myrda the new OTP?
Oh, obviously.
I mean,
they ran off together at the end.
They run off together.
They are off having great, sexy lesbian space pirate adventures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, granted, I think they're trying to set up some sexy lesbian space pirate adventures like canon right now in Star Wars because of the what's going on with Ahsoka and in the Clone Wars stuff.
Yeah. Well, Crucible beat you to it.
I know, by several years. Which means that, yes, definitely, Vestara Kai is the... Vestara and Myrda are the new sexy lesbian team.
Oh my god, how much do I want that to show up in Mandalorian?
Well, Ahsoka's going to show up in Mandalorian. It's not impossible.
Exactly. Plus, yeah. You'd have Boba Fett's granddaughter in there. It would be mm-hmm. fine.
Oh, that'd be amazing. What if she tried to pull rank on the actual Mandalorian, like main character guy, and she was like, look, I'm the granddaughter of Boba Fett. You're going to do what I say. And he had to be like, dude, Boba Fett took his helmet off constantly. I don't respect your dumb thing.
I don't respect you. I don't respect your dumb bullshit.
Yeah. The Fets are a horrible offshoot of our cool culture. You are not the way. Oh, and then they'd fight.
Ooh, they'd fight.
They'd fight and fight and fight. I was excited to see that they'd cast potentially, I forget who it was they had cast. She's awesome and she's been in a million things. But I was excited to see who they were potentially casting for Ahsoka in that Mandalorian show. But can we just go ahead and agree that if she'll be in the show, it'll be for a 5-second preview shot in the last 5 seconds of the last episode of the second season?
Hmm.
There is no way she's an actual character instead of sort of a setup for season 3.
Eh.
Yeah. But anyway, in answer to your question, yes. Go ahead.
Hit the targets. How well would Rey, Finn, and Poe handle this whole Kref situation compared to Luke, Leia, and Han? I feel like poorly?
Yeah, the problem with... Well, I mean, here's the problem. You're dealing with Rey, Finn, and Poe, who we know for maybe, what, like a year, I think, is the maximum possible amount of time that those three trilogies, those three movies take place over. Then you have you factor in that the people fighting the Krefts are Luke and Leia, like, as powerful as they will ever be.
Yes. And, I mean, outside of Finn, man, so much of the Rey and Poe storylines are just, like, them fucking up.
Yeah.
And it makes it so that they are interesting characters, but when you put them in a situation like this, I'd be like, oh, they would just get fucking murdered.
I mean, we haven't talked much about Rise of Skywalker. I don't even know if you've seen it.
I have not. This will be probably the 20th time you have asked me that.
I mean, the problem is we had a long running joke about whether or not you had seen Solo.
And so, I finally did.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the problem is that has just transposed itself into the most recent Star Wars novel or movie in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's just moved along. But that movie is so utterly disappointing in terms of the way things that shake out. I'd be like, I mean, I feel like Rey's going to win because she'll just hold up two lightsabers and that'll win somehow.
Hmm.
Don't worry about it.
It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. This is from Sydney. If the cast of the new trilogy got filtered through the old Legends writing, what kind of character... Oh, wait. This is pretty much the same thing. What would happen if we did see Rey, Poe, and Finn like 30 or 40 years later?
Well, I think
they're asking what kind of character flanderizations would occur.
Yeah, it's if they got written in like old expanded universe type Legends writing, how would they fuck them up? You know, like Leia the space racist and
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Han the kidnapping ridiculous person.
I mean, as much as I thought it was kind of interesting in the one movie it's really happening in, and you're just going to have to suck it up and deal with the spoiler alerts on this one, pal.
Yeah, I really don't care.
I know. If you cared, you would have seen the movie.
Yeah, and I don't.
Yeah. The Force Dyad thing where Rey and Kylo could hand stuff to each other like through the Force would probably get increasingly overused and expanded upon until the point where, like, Rey's sending spaceships through to wherever Kylo is, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that sounds like a thing that would happen.
I think it would just happen. It'd just take a longer period of time. The problem is that ultimately the new trilogy is itself kind of a flanderization of the old trilogy, where you're like, oh, well, remember how the return of the Jedi had a bigger Death Star in it? What if we made a planet into a Death Star? Eh?
Mm-hmm. Eh-eh.
What if the villain in the end of the third one of these was a whole fleet of Death Stars? I mean, sure, they're Star Destroyers, but every one of them has a Death Star on it.
It's all Star Destroyers with Death Stars.
That's literally the end of that movie. It's revealed that Palpatine has a fleet of Star Destroyers, and every one of them has a Death Star cannon on it.
That is so dumb. God damn it. I'm glad I didn't see this movie.
Yeah, no, honestly, for the year and a half of hate that we endured for the middle one, the last one is so aggressively bad. It was crazy. It was like listening to people comedically make fun of Jepsen's Malort for a year and a half, and then they were like, fine, here's our new recipe that we came up with. It's just a dump in a shot glass.
All right.
So, well, anyway, sorry about that. Getting too deep into Rise of Skywalker.
Let's see. Revengeful Lobster asks, which bounty hunters would you most like to see an Odd Couple-esque show about them being roommates that don't get along?
Ooh,
what
okay.
Quirks of their personality clash the hardest and drive the conflict?
I mean, ultimately, I feel like they're going to want us to go with, you know, bounty hunters anyone's ever heard of. So the five from the Star Destroyer plus the ones from the EU that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Myrta's probably okay.
Oh, yeah.
Or, but I mean, I don't know, Spurch, Warhawk, Goa.
I would definitely want, I mean, the easy one is just anyone plus IG-88, because then the dynamic is, you know, flesh bags and not.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Kind of like, and what's his name, the assassin droid from KOTOR.
Yeah.
Thing where he's just calling everybody meat bags and so on.
Exactly.
I like the idea of IG-88 being one of the pairing, because that way he can bring in his, like, three identical brothers, and it could become a whole comedy of errors thing where you can never be sure which IG-88 you're talking to.
And he consistently puts his own intelligence into other objects. So he's like, damn it, IG-88, quit being the toaster.
I have taken over the refrigerator. It now toasts bread into pure carbon. Take that, bread.
Food is for weak.
I mean, I would honestly kind of like to see, do you know that internet, that Twitter meme that's been going around recently where people want a TV show where Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are like old gardeners who solve mysteries?
Yes. What if Picard had nothing to do with space and was just Picard in a winery?
Yeah. In this case, they're just two old gardeners who live in England, and they solve murders like Jessica Fletcher did, but they spend most of their time just sort of insulting each other's gardening.
Hmm.
And one of them has a hot grandson who has to drive them everywhere, so at least there's one hot dude on the show, which, you know, three hot dudes. Come on. Let's be real. But I would like that same basic concept of like a fairly low stakes murder mystery, like kind of friendly old neighbors thing with Zuckuss and Forlom.
Because,
I mean, it's just such an interesting premise to pitch. You're like, all right, so this is a show about some sort of bug alien bounty hunter who's a little bit robot, and then a robot that is a robot of the bug alien bounty hunter who's like all robot. And they fight crime.
They fight crime.
Barring any of those, I would probably go with Dengar and Daharhan.
See, I was thinking Dengar, but would be who I would put with IG-88.
Dengar and IG-88 would be really good, because you see Dengar and you think, okay, you could put like a Harvey Korman or some other good old dude actor who's just like, God damn it, IG-88.
Oh yeah, like he's definitely the kind of like Rip Torn of this.
That's fine. I can see Rip Torn as Dengar. IG-88, just keep Taika Waititi doing the voice for that kind of droid. That's perfect. And then we could have an episode where IG-88's cousin Daharhan shows up.
There you go.
Because I don't know if you remember Daharhan. He's the bounty hunter that has replaced his head with a gun.
I do not.
And I just feel like it'd be kind of fun to watch him bumble around an apartment.
Daharhan.
just banging into stuff. Whoops, sorry. As you know, I replaced all of my sensory organs with a cannon. nope, nobody help me, nobody help me. I have to learn how to do this. Whoops, face went off.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you have it. Let me check the time, because I'm having a good old time.
I was going to say, we probably, you know, we could do one more.
Let's do one more.
Let's do one more.
Let's see. I'm going to find one that's okay. We already did that joke, so I'm sorry. I can't ask your question.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's okay. I like the S or Z one here. This one's pretty simple. Is it just me, or is this book kind of good, at least by expanded universe standards?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, actually.
We said towards the beginning of the season that one of the big things with this is that stuff actually happens. And so much in pretty much anything that wasn't Red Harvest, you were just waiting for anything to happen because it was just chapter after chapter of wheel spinning. And at least with this, you have multiple like combat scenes and like disasters and things happening.
Yeah, I would say the one weakness to this book that I really, well, besides the stupidness of the Krefs in general, the one weakness I really felt to this book was that it introduced a lot of new characters that it didn't need. Like, yeah, it needed Dina Yuss. Like, she was an important piece of the puzzle. But Omad, you could skip him entirely.
It's true. And the thing is, I do feel like a lot of that was, oh, because we're going to use Omad, obviously, for books coming up later, and then realized, no, we're not, but whatever, I've still got the character.
You also have Ohali Serac in that same point, where you're like, "What? This is a neat character, a Duro Jedi questing knight? What's this all about? Oh, she'll hide in a vat and disappear for the movie."
Ta-da!
So, but yes, overall, this is good by expanded universe standards.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not something that I would be like, oh man, I need to go out and recommend people read this, but it's at least much more competently done and paced than most of the other ones.
That is very true. So, John, do you think we should go ahead and let people know what's coming up?
Yeah, I suppose we may as well open up our secret container and let out the next book.
All right, I'm going to unzip my secret container.
Oh, no.
What? It's just a zipper on a secret container.
It's my duffel bag. What?
that I keep my balls in.
I have basically a little duffel bag hanging off my dongus at any given time, just a holding the boys.
Yeah, that's what passes for underwear these days.
Yeah.
This should be okay on a beach, right, guys?
Get your new duffel ball bag from MeUndies.
I still, to this day, one of my favorite websites I ever found was like an extremely adult male-only swimsuit website.
Oh, yeah.
That just sold like, you know, gay fetish swimsuits for dudes. And it was funny because it was all these things that were like, oh, this whole swimsuit is held on by a hook that goes up your butt.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this one is basically a dick-shaped pouch that you put on your dick.
Yes.
But with each and every one of them, the ad copy had to basically feed into people's fetish by being like, this one could totally be worn on a real beach. Just stride out there in comfort in your, this is my dick bathing suit. And it was every time. And you're like, no one's wearing these things to like, you know, the beach for the day. It's interesting that it just found it so fascinating to watch over and over again as the exact same ad copy was being used. This one's a G-string that literally goes up inside your butt. You could wear this one around kids.
Yeah, definitely. Play some beach volleyball with this one.
If it falls off, it's going to suck. Anyway, let's do the actual announcement and stop talking about tiny Speedos. One of the books I had lying around that was ready just in case of emergencies, such as this one, was the Han Solo Adventures. And we're going to start, there are three books in this book, and I am going to start by saying that we're going to commit to the first one. We're going to do the first one and see if we want to keep going.
All right, so we are doing Han Solo at Star's End.
Han Solo at Star's End, and here's an interesting thought. You know, John, the book that we just finished reading, Crucible, was from 2013?
Mm-hmm.
Han Solo at Star's End is from 1979. This is older than Empire Strikes Back.
God damn.
Yeah, so this is a really fascinating book. It's just Han and Chewie. There are no references to any other characters from the Star Wars, you know, the original movies. It's just Han before he's hooked up with the Rebellion, hanging out in the corporate sector, doing crimes. It is old as the hills. It's written by a fairly well-known author, Brian Daley. And my understanding is that these books are, if a little dry, actually pretty good. But, you know, we'll find out as we make our way through Han Solo at Star's End.
That's right.
Keep in mind,
Han Solo trusts no one and does no favors. He gives head before he gives out favors, and he doesn't give his best friend's head, so the chances of you getting a favor are pretty fucking slim.
I don't know what that's from, but I'm into it.
That is from Go. It is the only thing I remember from that movie.
The only thing I remember from Go is the part where they're negotiating over shooting one of the guys in the arm. Because, like, he shot some villain in the arm, and the villain managed to track him down and was going to shoot him in the arm back. And then they were, like, arguing about how, you know, oh, but I shot you from across the room. You can't shoot me point blank. And there's, like, five people in the room, and they're all just sort of contributing to the argument. The other thing about Go that's worth checking out, of course, is the soundtrack, which is, you know,
yeah,
super cool.
It's good.
Yeah. There you go. So Han Solo at Star's End, if you want to follow along, you're looking for the Brian Daley Han Solo Adventures trilogy. There are two Han Solo trilogies. We are doing the old one.
Yes, the Han Solo Adventures.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see you in a week with yet more exciting Star Wars content, because we had a couple spare books lying around. We're going to get right into it. You cannot stop us. The COVID virus cannot stop. Well, actually, it really scarily can. But so far, it has not.
All right, great. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and especially in our new attempt at being distant from each other.
Yep, yep. Well, we'll see how long we can stay apart before we kind of float towards each other like two hobos smelling pies.
Just running across an open field at each other.
John!
Me and you, and you and me.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see how well that plays out. All right, as always, you can go find bonus content that we're going to be doing in just a minute by going to patreon.com/systemmastery and supporting us at the $2 level. We will find stories on Wikipedia about weird Star Wars things, and we will come back and tell them to each other and to you. And this time we really will be surprising each other with them, because we're not in the same room.
Exactly.
So watch for that. That's going to be coming at the same time. They'll release both when we release this episode. As always, you can find that at patreon.com/systemmastery. It's at the $2 level, and unlocking the $2 level also unlocks the $1 level content, the System Mastery bonus content. So you're getting like six episodes a month for that $2. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you real, real soon. Until that time, I've been Elan Sleaze-Boggiano.
And I died.
Good night.